How's that? Is that better? You can hear me now? We're excited to be with you here today. I'm also excited that my pastor is getting some R&R with his family today. How many of y'all know we got to take care of our pastor? Yes, we love our pastors, and we just are so thankful they're getting some rest today. And we also want to welcome all of our folks that are watching online from cyberspace today. We're excited you've come to join us. You might be listening to this message on a podcast, but let's give our online folks a hand. They're part of us. They are. They really are. And so I'm Pastor Will. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Promised Land. I see a lot of new faces here today. And I have a disclaimer. I am not used to preaching without a microphone in my hand. So I'm using this earpiece today, and I have no idea what I'm going to be doing with my hand. So I might be doing strange things and not even realizing it. And so just be aware. I'm learning how to preach with my hand, so forgive me. But I'm excited to be speaking to you today. In fact, I'm going to be preaching from a single verse in the book of Philippians, and a wonderful verse in Philippians 1 and 6. And let me read this to you. This is a profound truth that Paul is preaching to a brand new church, a newer church, and he's got this truth for them. He says this to them: I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. What good news. What a great message. It was a wonderful message. And he was saying, hey, y'all, I am confident that what God has started in you, he is going to complete it. Amen. Good message. And so it's a great message. In fact, I titled my message today. The title of my message is God's Not Finished With Me. Are you thankful that God's not finished with you? Yeah, I am too. Really am. And won't you say that with me? God's not finished with me. Oh, come on, let's do that again. God's not finish with me. And I hope by the end of this sermon that you also have confidence that God's not going to give up on us, that God has a plan for us, that God loves us in spite of ourselves. And I would like to stand up here and just tell you today that I've always believed this. It didn't really sink in for quite a while in my walk with God. You see, when I first started living for God, I thought I was an anomaly. I really thought I was a kind of mess that God had not yet ever experienced. You see, I thought God had never dealt with somebody like me that had the issues that I had. I thought I was different. I was like, God, You've never seen anybody like me, God, because I'm messed up. So I really believe this. I believe that, man, I was something different. Like, it was like he'd not seen me. He's like, God, get ready for this, because I know you fix people, but you got a lot of fixing to do. Anybody else here feel like a mess? Two people feel like a mess. Man, you guys got it together. Looking good and got it all together. Woo! Give yourself a hand. You guys got it all together. Three people in here are messes, just three of us. And so for a long time, there was this crazy cycle that I would go through in this relationship with God. And I would start off really well, really good, and I'd go a few weeks without messing up. Okay, I'll be honest. I'd go a few days without messing up. Okay, I'd go a few hours without blowing it. And then I would blow it. I would feel like I ruined everything. Like I completely broke it. Like, God, I broke it. What you did was great, but I broke this. I broke it, God. And I'd feel like I'd messed it all up. And I'd feel like I have to start over. I'd have to start from the beginning, completely start over. And I'd say, God, okay, God, we're going to do it right this time. I know I messed up. Give me another chance, God. Give me another chance. Am I the only person in here that's ever thought that way? Good. Good. Now you're being honest. This side wasn't honest before. Now you're being honest. Yes. Good job. But I felt like I'd ruined everything, like I'd have to start all over in this walk with God. And it was, I feel like I messed it up. Like I was a mess up. But you know, the thing is when I would mess up, I'd always feel like God would forgive me. Like I felt that. I was like, man, God, I know you forgive me. I feel it. I believe it. But it's just too easy. I mess up, I make a big mistake, and all I do is I tell you I'm sorry, and then that's it? No, God, there's got to be more. I'm going to punish myself for a while. I'm going to put myself down for a while. I'm going to, you know what, that was just too easy, God. I'm going to beat myself up for a while. And I do that for weeks. In the Bible it talks about sackcloth and ashes, and you know, I mean, if I had sackcloth and ashes, I don't know what those are, but I'd get them because I'd want to thoroughly punish myself. So I'd go through this process of rebuilding the relationship. I'd go through this process where I'd start all over improving that I'm a good Christian. Improving that I love you, God. Improving that, God, you can trust me again. Improving that, okay, I'm going to do it right this time. And I would go through this process where I felt like I had to earn it back again, earn that trust, earn that favor. And please understand me, this is wrong. This is absolutely wrong. But that's how it was. That's how it was in my walk with him. And that led to a very frustrating prayer life. And let's call it, it was a very shallow prayer life, because all of my prayers were geared towards me not making mistakes anymore. God, help me not blow it anymore. Help me not punch people in the face. Help me not look at the things I'm not supposed to look at. God, make me. Have you ever asked God to make you not do something? Am I the only person that said, God, turn me into a robot so I don't look at things I'm not supposed to look at? And I wanted God to like force me to be good. Make me be good, God. Make me be good. And it was so incredibly frustrating because I was always failing, and I felt like I was starting over and over and over again. And really, the problem with it was I had a performance-based relationship with God. And that relationship was, man, it was good when I was doing good. But when I was doing bad, it was bad. It was bad. It was a lot of ups and downs, a lot of starts and stops. Do you have a lot of starts and stops? God, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to start praying more. I'm going to start reading my Bible more. This time I'm going to, you know, I'm going to pray more. I'm not going to hit them this time, God. I'm going to pray more. And you're going to stop doing things. I'm going to stop doing this, and I'm going to stop doing this. Does this sound familiar to you? It's a bunch of starts and stops. It's like, it's frustrating. And it's very frustrating. And what I really didn't realize at the time was that I was embracing a performance-based religion. And that performance-based religion, there's a churchy term for it. It's called legalism. Legalism. All right. I'm using these churchy words. Don't let your eyes glass over. Stay with me. All right. What is legalism? Legalism is believing that your salvation comes from just not doing bad things. And it's, if I can just do enough good things, if I can do enough good things, then I'm good with God. And it can take on different forms, but the problem with legalism, the problems with a performance-based relationship is it's all about you. When it's all about you, that's a problem in and of itself. And so when you have to do all this good stuff, you got to walk old ladies across the street. You got to pay your time. I got to read my Bible. I got to do all these things so I'm good with God. It's frustrating. And what was interesting is that it came naturally to me. Legalism came naturally to me. Nobody taught me how to be that way. It was natural. And the fact is that a lot of us, in little parts and little pieces of our lives, we still believe that lie. That we still believe that we got to do good for God to love us. And if we do bad, God's not going to love us. And it's not the truth. It's not the truth. And here's the other deal. When you really are doing well, man, you're firing all cylinders. You prayed today. You spent 15 minutes in your Bible. Oh, you're floating on air. You know, you're floating on air. You did good. You got your badge on. And, you know, I made it. I'm doing good. And then you see somebody messing up. And you're like, you don't need to mess up. Come on, man. You start judging them or attacking them because you've done well and they're not doing well. And so legalism does that. Legalism is judgment. Legalism is never being good enough. You can't earn it. You can't do it. It's tough. It is a tough way to live, and it's really not a way to live for God. And so I want to tell you this, when we believe this way, we're really believing a lie, that it's all up to you, that you have the power to save yourself, and that you also have the power to wreck everything, to break it. You know, I always was so worried about this fragile relationship with God. I was worried that I would just break it and have to build it all up again. God is bigger than that. And God is bigger than your messes. And God is bigger than any way you try to earn his love, because he loves you anyways. He loves you anyways. And so when we come to that a point in our life where we realize that that is a lie, that we can't earn this. You know, the scripture says that not by works of righteousness, which we have done, the good stuff that we have done, but it's by his mercy he has saved us. And folks, we don't have the power to save ourselves. We don't even have the power to wreck everything. We can make a big old mess, but you cannot separate yourself from the love of God. God's going to love you no matter what. And here's a big problem. There's a huge misconception that being a Christian is avoiding sin and not blowing it. A misconception is this: if I can just not blow it, I'm gonna maintain and do well. And I wanna tell you something, that this relationship that we have with God, it's not about rules. It's about love. It's not about rules, it's about love. And Timothy Keller has a quote that's just beautiful, that it really describes the gospel. And he says, the gospel is this: that we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe. He's talking about us. Yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. Did you see that? I'm gonna have to say that again, because that preaches. It says the gospel is this: that we are more sinful and flawed in ourselves than we ever dared believe, yet at the very same time, we are more loved and accepted in Jesus Christ than we ever dared hope. And so for me, I really didn't understand the gospel. I didn't even understand God's grace and his love for me, because like I said before, God, you know, wait a minute, this was too easy for me to just say I'm sorry. There has to be more. There has to be more. I got to punish myself. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. And I didn't understand that God's grace is unearned favor. That God's grace is, he loves you in spite of yourself. God's grace is unearned. You can't earn God's grace. And I also didn't realize that God's love for me was unconditional. That's a big statement. God's love for me is unconditional. And really what that breaks down to is no matter what condition you are currently in, God loves you. What condition are you in? Are you doing amazing? God loves you. Have you wrecked everything? Probably not, but God loves you. No matter what your condition in, He loves you. God's love is unconditional. What shall separate us from the love of God? Neither death, nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height. I mean, I don't even know how to quote that scripture properly. But nothing, basically the gist of that scripture is you can't separate yourself from the love of God. Amen. Wouldn't it be awesome if I could quote scripture? Man. So it's unconditional. We can't separate ourselves from it. Also, there's another word I'd like to use today. God is long-suffering. I got some weird looks. What does long-suffering mean? It's not a word that we really use nowadays. But imagine this, and here's a great example of long-suffering. Imagine putting your hand on a table. You've got your hand on that table, and somebody comes around with a hammer, and they smack your hand with that hammer. Ah! That hurt. I'm suffering. And you suffer for a little bit. And then that guy comes around again and he hits your hand with the hammer again. Ow, I'm suffering. You're long suffering. You're suffering for a long time. Take your hand off the table. But God leaves his hand on the table. God leaves his hand on the table. God is long-suffering. What I'm trying to point out here is we can hurt God over and over again, and he's not going to take his hand off of the table. He's not going to take his hand off of the table because he loves us. He's not going to leave you there. He loves you too much to leave you where you are, even when you hurt him. That's the truth. And I had somebody come up to me last service and they said, you know that, I got a wonderful example. My brother used to train parrots. And I go, okay, let me hear this example. All right, good for you, your brother trains parrots. And he says that he would put his hand in the cage, and if he found a bird that would bite his hand, the worst thing you could do is to remove your hand from the cage. Because the bird knows that it got a reaction out of you, and if you take your hand out of the cage, he's got you. But what his brother would do is he would leave his hand in the cage, and that bird would bite and bite and bite, and he'd be bleeding. And he would take that same finger that bird was biting, and he would pet the head of that bird. And in a matter of time, that bird realized that hand was there to love him. That hand was there, bloodied as it was. It was there to love him. And in a moment, that bird, there was a relationship. And so our God is long-suffering. And I can tell you this, I know I have hurt God over and over again. But he's long-suffering to me. And that means he shows patience and he shows love in spite of our messes. He's forbearing, he's tolerant, he's uncomplaining, he's charitable, he's accommodating, and he's forgiving. I pulled this word I pulled from 2 Peter 3:9, and it says this: the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. God backs up his word. God backs up his word. Stay with me. But is long-suffering to us. And the reason why God is long-suffering to us is that he's not willing. God is not willing that any of us should perish. See, God's not out to get you. God's not waiting for you to make that move again and you mess up and, aha, I got you now. That's not the God we serve. He's a long-suffering God. He's a God of mercy. He's a God that when you bloody him, he's going to keep loving you. Now get this. He says that he's not willing that any of us should perish. He doesn't want a single one of us to perish, but that we all would come to repentance. And repentance is another churchy word that I want to explain to you. All repentance is turning away from sin and turning back to a loving God who's long-suffering. That God loves you in spite of your messes, in spite of your messes, and you turn around and you love God. And I've got a quirky example for you. About 25 years ago, I was in a high school marching band. I was a really cool kid, okay? And I played trumpet. And I, they would say, repent. And so let me give you the example of repentance in the trumpet. So I'd hold my trumpet in marching band, and they tell you to march. I can remember this after 25 years. And they would tell you to repent. I'm not doing it right, I know. But you would, repentance was completely turning around and marching in the other direction. And so that's what God's love does for us. Is that we're marching off in the wrong direction, but God keeps loving us. He keeps loving us, and it brings us back to Him. And honestly, everybody here, everyone present has really blown it at one time or another, including pastors. Inconceivable. Say it isn't so. But we've all blown it at one point in time. Everyone here has blown it. Everyone. And we've all made some big old messes. Have you ever made a big old mess? Have you ever messed up where you weren't allowed back in an establishment anymore? It's messes. But it's something that we all have in common is we all have messes. And look at your neighbor and say, it takes one to know one. Some of y'all enjoying that too much. Some of y'all enjoying that too much. All right, but it takes one to know one. We've all blown it at one point in our life, and that's why we recognize messes. Because we can see a mess coming a mile down the road because we have been messes as well. And I want to tell you something. I'm going to slow down here. Our adversary, the enemy, the father of lies, he has a bag of tricks. And that bag of tricks is that he wants to convince you that you are a special case, that nobody's messed up like you have messed up. He wants to tell you that you're the only one with the problem. And if he could convince you that you're the only one with the problem, that you've messed up, strike three, you're out. God doesn't love you anymore. Go home and eat some worms. But he wants to do that, and he wants to tell us that, and he keeps telling us that over and over and over again. He wants us to just give up. And you know what? In the New Testament, there was this amazing conversation between Jesus and Peter. And the conversation was Jesus talking to Peter, and he said, Peter, Satan has asked, he wants to get you. He wants to sift you like wheat. And I don't know if you understand what sifting wheat is. Basically, you cut the wheat at the base, and you stick it in this box, and you beat the mess out of it until all of the wheat falls through the box. And so what Jesus was telling Peter, the devil wants to beat the mess out of you. But he said, I have prayed for you that your faith will fail not. And so while the enemy lies to us, we have God who is for us. And God knows exactly what you are dealing with today. And so maybe today you feel like God is done with you, that you've gone too far. Or you've messed up so badly that you are beyond God's ability, that you're beyond God's ability to help you or to even use you. Maybe you feel like I did, you're a special kind of mess, a mess that God had not yet seen before. Maybe today you feel like you're stuck. That you're stuck in a rut, that you're stuck in a rut with your walk with God, that you feel you've missed out on something, you've missed out on God's plan for your life, or you've made a bad decision, And that decision makes you think that that decision has disqualified you forever, or derailed you, or derailed your ministry. I've got good news for you today. God's not finished with you yet. God's not done with you yet. Come on. God's not done with you yet. He's not finished with you yet. And I want to tell you something else. I am confident today that God's got a plan. I am confident today, and I trust that God is going to finish what he has started in you. You see, Paul was confident. He said, I am confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. God never gives up. God will never give up on you. He's not a leaver, and he's not a quitter. He finishes what he starts. And if this is the first day that you've stepped into a church, God's got a plan for you. God's not going to give up on you. If you're 85 years old, God's not finished with you yet. And I want to tell you, he loves you too much to leave you. And I want to also, I have a disclaimer that God is a gentleman. And what does that mean? God's a gentleman. God is not going to force you to do anything. God's not going to break into any area of your heart that you are not willing to give God. Remember, I was asking God to force me. God, make me a robot so I don't look at things I don't need to look at. God, make me a robot so I don't make mistakes anymore. God's not into that. But we are part of the equation. We're part of the equation. God's not finished with us. But sometimes, if we get frustrated, if we believe the lies of the devil, if we believe that we've gone too far, we've gone beyond the grace of God, strike three, we're out, we can remove ourselves from the equation. And we can be the quitter and the leaver, and we walk away from God. We get frustrated, and we walk away. But God never leaves the equation. And I have a beautiful truth for you today, that it is a blessing to know that you are a mess. What? Say that with me. I'm blessed to know that I'm a mess. How on earth are you blessed to know that you are a mess? If you knew my mess, you wouldn't say I'm blessed. Some of y'all here got some big old messes. I've had some big messes. But when you are aware that you are a mess, that means God is drawing you. You know, the Bible says the goodness of God leads us to repentance. God's long-suffering, God's love, God's kindness, his gentleness, God's mercy and his grace, it brings us back to him. And so if you are a mess and you're aware that you are a mess, know this, that God's not finished with you yet, that God's still working on you. Don't give up. God's still working on you. You're not finished. I'm not finished. Even Paul, the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter, he said, I myself have to be subject. I've got to keep myself right with God, because lest after I have preached, I myself would be a castaway. And what Paul was saying is, I've got to go back to God with everything. I've got to allow God to continue to work on my life. I've got to allow God to finish this work in my life. And so this is a process. And I want to tell you today that our relationship with God is much more than not messing up. It's so much more. This whole thing, folks, is about love. It's not about not doing wrong. And I want to tell you this, that spiritual maturity is a process. Sometimes we get really frustrated with our own spiritual maturity. Do you ever get frustrated with yourself? But it's kind of like this. If you were to take a pot and put soil in it, and put a little seed in it, and then you're pouring water on it, and then you put it outside in the sun, and then 10 minutes later, you go out, hey, come on now, hurry up, grow, mature. It's a process. And sometimes we get angry at ourselves. Sometimes we beat ourselves up. But God is working on us. God is not finished with you yet. So how do we know? How do we know that we are maturing? How do we know that we are growing in this relationship with God? And this is a beautiful part. I read to you Philippians 1 and 6. And Paul was so confident that God was going to complete a good work that he had started in them. I want to tell you the prayer that Paul prayed over them. It was amazing. Paul's prayer to them was, behave, don't make any mistakes, and keep your hands to yourself. You don't believe that? Good, because he didn't say that. He didn't say that. But this was his prayer. His prayer was this. In Philippians 1 and 9, it says, and it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. See, Paul was praying for their love. Paul was praying for that good work. And that was the work of God's love in their life. You see, love changes things. And what Paul was praying is, man, this good work is God's love in your life. And the more you feel that grace, the more you feel that mercy, the more you feel forgiven, the more you realize that God is long-suffering, even when you mess up over and over and over again, that love begins to work in your life. And it grows. And how many of you know that when you love somebody well, you're not hurting them? But how many of you know when you're not loving well, you hurt a bunch of people and you make a bunch of messes? And so Paul is praying this prayer. Paul is telling them, I'm going to pray that your love may explode in your life, because that's going to make you a better husband. It's going to make you a better wife. It's going to make you a better student. It's going to make you a better son or a daughter. It's going to affect every relationship you have. And it is a process. And so our process, sometimes we're frustrated with it, but we need to realize that this is a process. And we know that God is making progress in our life by our relationship, by our love. It's not about rules. It's about relationship. And so I wanted to tell you today, on the way in, I saw a sign from God. It was amazing. I even took a picture of it. Look at this sign from God. Okay, it's the church sign, but it's on God's property. It says this, be confident, God will finish what he started in you. Do you believe that this morning? Let's say it together. I'm confident that God will finish what he started in you. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. I'm so thankful you're not finished with me. I'm so thankful that you have so much love for us, that your love is unending and unconditional, that you love me in spite of my messes, in spite of my mistakes, and you love me through them, and your love pulls me closer to you. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for loving me when I was unlovable. Thank you for not removing your hand from the table, but you left it there. And thank you for your patience with us, God. And God, we have confidence, and we believe that you're going to finish what you have started in our lives. We don't have to earn your love. That we don't have to work and work and work for you to love us. That you love us no matter what. And God, thank you, God, that when we failed, you didn't. And that your work on the cross was perfect. It was so perfect. It was absolutely perfect that we can do nothing to earn what you have already done for us. And God, we thank you that we have confidence in you today. Confidence that you will see us through the mess. Confidence that you will love us in spite of ourselves. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. Let's give God a hand this morning. Yeah. I'm excited that God is not finished with me. Aren't you excited about that? All right, well, we want you to know that at the end of every service, we'll have pastors and leaders up here that want to help you pray. And also, at the end of every service, we also offer baptism, and we would love to baptize you today in Jesus' name. But go in confidence, knowing that God has you, that God loves you, and we will see you again here next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Be blessed, everybody. Brother. At my door.